Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's sermon.
What a beautiful song to begin today. I am your beloved and you are mine. Will you all begin with a prayer with me? Just repeat after me if you'd like. If parts of it don't make sense to you, feel free to abstain. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Lord Buddha, and saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Beloved God, may thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion. And may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts everywhere. Om, peace. Amen. Good morning, middle family. It is so good to be here, finally, on this pulpit. It's really nerve-wracking. After 15 years of being a member of this beautiful congregation, and how beautiful to have a Hindu Buddhist be here with his Christian congregation in a Jewish sanctuary. Right? This is Middle, the Middle Way, Middle Collegiate Church. So happy Mother's Day, happy AAPI month, and happy Sunday. My name is Anu, and I am so honored to just offer some words of inspiration today on this topic of breaking bias. You know, as Jackie mentioned, it's also a book that I've written that'll come out this fall. And I speak about this topic across the country, but today I'm particularly nervous because as a scientist and as a lawyer, I rarely talk about my faith journey publicly. And I feel like it's time. Amen. It's time for the billion or so people who look like me, right, and who share my faith, including all of you. So one thing that has motivated me ever since I was a young person, when I first came to Middle 15 years ago, is this dream that Dr. King had so clearly laid out. Our dream is to build a beloved community. Not just our dream, our goal is to build a beloved community. And this will require qualitative changes in our souls and quantitative changes in our lives. And these words, you know, when I first heard them, sounded too lofty, kind of unattainable, even unrealistic, right? And they became real to me 15 years ago. And that's the work of breaking bias. That's how I uncovered and discovered this work. And I'll share with you two particular incidents in my life that brought me to this work. The first was, you know, 15 years ago, a few days before my 24th birthday, I found myself on the ledge of my 18th floor window, contemplating jumping off. And as I stood there on this ledge in Midtown, I started seeing a lot of stories that I'd heard about myself all my life until that point as an immigrant to the US. Hindu heathen, terrorist, devil worshiper, faggot, go home to where you came from. And with each breath that I took, I started noticing this unique being that inhabits this body and those stories out there that were projected on this body. And my mind wanted to do the unimaginable. Jump, jump. Except my body fell backwards. This body fell backwards. And for me, this was the first moment of grace, what we call grace, a gift from our Creator that my work here isn't done. So as I came to appreciate this gift of life, a few months later, on Easter, the second incident took place, which was actually here. I was invited to Middle at our sanctuary, which burnt down. And it was a big deal for me to walk into Middle Church. It was quite traumatic, actually, because you see, I was raised Hindu. I still identify that way. And growing up in the US, I was teased quite brutally for being a devil worshiper, for being a heathen. In middle school, a Christian classmate of mine gave me a comic book that literally portrayed the Hindu conception of the divine as the devil. In high school, a dear friend of mine broke up with me because I was destined for hell, according to her. And in graduate school, when I accompanied one of my classmates to his church, we were instructed to only pray for Christians. So, sound familiar? And also, I come from a brown Indian heritage, and my ancestors and the lands I come from were brutalized, pillaged, in the name of Christianity. So a lot of baggage there, right? A lot of baggage there. So you're probably like, why the hell did you come? Sorry, excuse my French. Well, you see, what kept me coming back to church was that I love Christ. I love what he stands for. And I don't want to choose between Christ, Krishna, or Buddha. Yeah. So that's what brought me here. And the first sermon, I so remember it vividly. Jackie was preaching, it was Easter, talking about the ills of racism, sexism, homophobia, capitalism, and our greed-driven world. And I was like, what's going on? This is not the church I know or I've heard of. And that was the second moment. The stories I had heard or experienced about Christians, this community wasn't matching up to those stories. A gap began to develop between what I had known and what I knew to be true. People of different faith backgrounds, including no faith backgrounds, part of this church, singing, dancing, celebrating, worshiping together. This is what feels like a beloved community to me. This is what Dr. King was talking about. So these two incidents in 2009, 2010, really helped me notice some cognitive dissonances I had about myself. On the one hand, I was really proud of my ancestors, my freedom-fighting ancestors who inspired Dr. King, right? And yet I somehow didn't like my skin color and my culture. On the one hand, I loved the Middle community, and I noticed all these like judgments I had of all Christians in my own mind. So being the big nerd that I am, and I'm a very big nerd, I needed to make sense of this cognitive dissonance that Amanda just spoke to. What's going on within myself, in the outside world? So I did what I like to do best. I went to the science, cross-disciplinary science, to understand why this is. I read the history, the neuroscience, the anthropology, the religious texts, and started to make sense of the root causes of the who, what, where, when, and why, and how of all of these isms and phobias that we experience in our world. And I started to appreciate that even though it doesn't look like this on the outside, from a deep time perspective, our human consciousness is actually moving towards greater peace, greater understanding, greater compassion. In A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle talks about, and he reassures us from this deep time perspective, regardless of how humans may appear from the outside, we are evolving towards greater peace. And it's apparent from congregations like this, right? It's apparent from, you know, higher numbers of intermarriages and our concern for the earth and our non-human siblings as well. However, for many of us, including yours truly, change over thousands of years isn't fast enough. I'm like, Eckhart, that's great, but I'm not going to be alive in 3,000. And for me, that's when I discovered that breaking bias really offers us that opportunity to expedite that process for ourselves and for every life we touch. So before I tell you how, and even invite you to experience it yourself, I want to first define bias. So bias is a learned habit that distorts how we perceive, reason, remember, and make decisions. So a learned habit. For example, I had learned this habit that prevented me from perceiving myself as who I am, instead as the ideas that were fed to me about me and people like me. Perceive, reason, remember, make decisions. Same thing for my perceptions of Christians. You know, learned habits. And what bias does is that it distorts how people like you and me perceive the humanity of Black people, of brown people, of indigenous people, of Asian people, of immigrants, of Buddhists, of Hindus, of Israelis, of Palestinians, of Republicans, and of Democrats. And these distortions begin as false beliefs, stories, literally stories, that then convert into thoughts, emotions, resentment, anger, that then move into our words, move into our actions, into our habits, and ultimately become our destiny. They are the micro decisions that doctors are making, teachers are making, police officers are making, that casting directors, even preachers in the world are making, that aggregate into the unfairness, the violence, and the wars we're witnessing in the external world. In the words of Gandhi, you know, our beliefs become our thoughts become our words become our actions become our habits, and our habits become our destiny. The wars we're seeing outside actually begin in our own minds. Now, the good news is, so this is where I get really excited, is that just as biases are learned, they can be unlearned. And this was the message of all of our Western prophets, of Moses, of Abraham, of Jesus, of Prophet Muhammad, and also of the prophets of my ancestors, of Krishna, of Buddha, of Guru Nanak, and of Yogananda. But just don't take their word for it, because oftentimes in our world, religion is like something we just don't trust because of the atrocities committed in its name. Now, the neuroscience shows it too. And in the language of science, it's basically through five tools. PRISM, which you'll see here. It's an acronym for perspective taking, prosocial behavior, individuation, stereotype replacement, and mindfulness. And PRISM is what all of our ancient wisdom traditions, including the Gospels of Christ, have been asking us to do. Really beginning with mindfulness. The psalm says, be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. What does that mean? Notice. Become aware. Right? Feel. That's mindfulness. This is what I did when I first got on that ledge and was about to move forward. When I came to this church and started noticing all these ideas that weren't mine. I learned them, but they weren't mine. That's where the journey begins. Then we move to stereotype replacement. The Corinthians, it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that mean? We the same people, made of the same flesh and bones, and we are each other's keepers. So when those stereotypes arise, those ideas arise, we use mindfulness to notice them. And we neutralize them with counter-stereotypes. So I'll give you an example. When I see Christians with Confederate flags, I'm like, oh, they're not really Christians. They think they are. And I replace that with my middle family. Right? So this is stereotype replacement. Then we move to individuation. In the Ecclesiastes, it says, do not take to heart all the things that people say. What do they mean? Be curious. Don't take to heart what they say. Be curious, investigate, go deeper. So if some misguided fanatics from any faith tradition, you know, say certain things or do certain things, it doesn't mean that everybody from that faith tradition believes that. We have to begin to dissociate these group-based associations from the individual, individuation, right? And it's not just outside, it's in our families, it's in our daily lives. And then we move to the simplest and often the hardest of all tools, pro-social behaviors and perspective taking. The practice of compassion, empathy, joy, altruism, and imagining being in the shoes of others. Ephesians says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Right? Very clear, right? You know, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, perspective taking. And this is the process of, you know, unlearning bias so clearly laid out in the ancient texts, and now science is catching up to it. And this isn't a lifetime's worth of work. Rather, it's about building new habits. And the science shows it takes as little as 3 weeks to up to 8 weeks to build a new habit through daily practice. 8 weeks of daily practice, we can build these tools and begin to break bias within our own bodies so we can relate better, make better decisions in our day-to-day life. And it happens through this simple rule. The scientists call it neurons that fire together, wire together. In other words, where the mind goes, energy flows. So it's about watching and training our minds. If we continue to feed our minds hatred, division, anger, jealousy, and materialism, that's what we're going to do. Our thoughts become our destiny. And simultaneously, if we feed our minds with love, compassion, forgiveness, understanding, that's what we'll become. So, you know, I've talked enough, and I want to give you, my middle family, a little flavor of these tools, particularly the tool of loving kindness. It's a pro-social behavior. You know, this practice is generally done as a meditation. Has anyone done loving kindness before? A few of you. Oh, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, but I'd like to do it in a way that middle knows best, as a song. So, yes, so what we're going to do is we're going to sing together. We're going to do it three times and twice over and over again. And you'll catch the rhythm with me pretty quick. You're all on a musical. You probably do this better than I can. But the way it works is that we start with offering these loving and gentle affirmations toward ourselves. Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? So we start here. Then we'll offer it to others, to you. And then we offer it to we, everyone here, but also the we that's outside these walls, outside this synagogue, this temple, all our living beings, even non-living being companions. So y'all ready?
Yes.
We'll do it twice. So you can place your hands on your heart. And let's start.
May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy.
Let's do that again, and this time really offer these well wishes to this living being that's right here, closest to you.
May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy.
Now we're going to do to you, and I want you to make eye contact with people around you and really bring that bright smile from that genuine place that's within. Offer these well wishes to your congregation.
May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease.
And now let's do it for everyone, all beings, everywhere, here and beyond, with a we.
May we be of loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be happy.
Beautiful, beautiful. Notice how you feel. Yeah. Notice how you feel in your body, just offering. This is our inheritance from our Creator. Now imagine if our teachers, our police officers, our doctors, our nurses, our church leaders, our politicians, if they truly practice these tools, would they be able to make the decisions they're making? So this is the work of rewiring. That's the work of breaking bias. In a world that constantly triggers us in emotions of self-loathing and hatred of others, the PRISM tools really work against the stream. They remind us moment to moment of our worthiness and the sanctity of our life. When our hearts, bodies, and spirits are full of loving kindness for ourselves, our cup runneth over to want the same for others. And the PRISM tools are really about purifying the contaminants in our minds that keep us locked in hatred and the delusion of us and them. When at the absolute level, there's no them, there's just us. That's our beloved community. And this is the work of breaking bias to build that beloved community, making those qualitative changes in our souls and quantitative changes in our lives. So this is what we've been doing, Middle Family, and that's all I have for you today. For me, breaking bias is probably one of the most important work we can be doing together in the 21st century and repair our connection with ourselves, with one another, and our earth, and ultimately, our shared creator. Whether you call it Allah, whether you call him Bodhicitta, you call him God, Jesus, what have you. So, in closing, you know, I just love that I'm here. I'd love your support. Please engage with me on this work. And, you know, in a closing, I'll just say, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. I love you all so much.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.